Let's pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You out of a long week, and we pray that to our thirsty souls You would nourish us with Your Word and in the power of Your Holy Spirit, with our Lord Jesus Christ, to encourage us and strengthen us for another week. And may You encourage the mothers in this congregation to serve with ever greater vigor for Your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 23. I'm going to break custom this year. Normally I give the mothers kind of a hard time on Mother's Day, but this year I'm going to go easy on them, though from the text you might not think that that would be the case, or maybe as my Bible titles the chapter, Woe to the Scribes and Pharisees, we'll hopefully see that this is a blessed passage in which we see the heart of our Savior, and we can thank God for the hearts of our mothers. Matthew chapter 23, at verse 1. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to His disciples, saying, "The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do and not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers, but all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best seats at best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you, do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obligated to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obligated to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. So woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pave tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautifully outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Therefore, indeed, I send to you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate, for I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This morning we're going to be paying special attention to only one verse in that chapter, which is verse 37, where Jesus says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning, as it is Mother's Day, I thought it appropriate to read this passage, and you might be thinking at this point, the pastor has fallen off his rocker, and that is always an entire possibility. You can't rule that one out. But in this passage, we do see something in the character of Jesus that is reflected in nature and is reflected in the heart of a mother. And I don't mean chewing out your children like Jesus chewing out the Pharisees here, though I'm sure that certainly does happen from time to time. But in verse 37, we see a portion of the heart of our Savior that is like a mother's love for her children. And that would only make sense because men and women are both image bearers of God, and it makes sense that the unique characteristics that are good and common to either gender would find its origin in the Creator God. Now there are, of course, some differences between what Jesus says here in this passage and a mother's care and desire to protect her children. So we'll parse those things out first, but then we will see the similarities. We will praise God for the way that He deals with us and how He has made our mothers to care and protect us. Jesus, in this passage, is chastising the religious rulers of His day. In fact, He's calling down curses upon them if they do not repent. That is what that word, woe, implies. It's a divine curse. So anyone who thinks that Jesus is being a big meanie here, it's probably far worse than they thought. Jesus is calling out in this passage false religion, and especially those who disguise themselves as religious who actually are hypocrites. And throughout Jesus' ministry, you'll notice that He's extremely harsh with the religious rulers, but very gentle with the layperson. And the reason for that is because the teacher or ruler has much more responsibility, because one, they should know better, they should know the truth and walk in it, but second, because they are supposed to be leading others to the Lord and in the truth. But then in verse 37, we see Jesus cry, not just for the religious rulers of his people, but for all people. That is that phrase, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." Jerusalem was God's city. It was representative of all the people of God. It isn't without reason that when John in the Revelation is describing the city of God, what is it called? The New Jerusalem. Jerusalem was symbolic of all of God's people dwelling with God. And so we see Jesus here crying out to all of God's covenant people to return, to repent, and to believe. Now, there are some distinctions that we need to make here between the thoughts and feelings that we have or that mothers have towards their children and those of Jesus here. Jesus, in crying out in this way, is crying out for those whom he has not come to save, but those to whom the covenant promises of salvation have been extended. When we have a loved one walk away from the faith, or you have a child walk away from the Lord, you do cry out to the Lord, and you cry out to them because your heart aches for them in a similar way to Jesus here, because they are covenant people. They are covenant children, and they are now breaking the covenant that God has made with them. They are rejecting the promises that God has extended to them, the promises of salvation and eternal life. But we are not crying out to them as the one who can save them, but rather as ones pointing them to the one that can save them. I bring this up because all of us know family members or friends that have walked away from the Lord or are hypocritically walking with the Lord. And our hearts call out to them and mourns over them just as Jesus does here. And so when a loved one or even a child walks away from the Lord, we are reminded in this verse that Jesus knows our grief. He knows the longing of our heart for them to return. We all know those feelings, but there's something very special about a mother in this regard. A mother's heart is very special. The longing that a Christian mother has for her children to walk with the Lord and to walk in His ways is fierce and it is passionate. But when her children do not walk with the Lord or in His ways, the pain that is caused in her heart is most severe because she cares so deeply. This can also manifest itself then in fear and worry, which we'll get to in a moment. But for now, I want all the mothers in this congregation to know that the heart that you have been given by the Lord for your children is good, and it is wonderful. And for all of us that have had good mothers, we should give thanks to the Lord for them, and for the way that they have cared for us, and or the way that they continue to care for us. For those who have not had good mothers, who did not love you as they should have, in verse 37 you see that your Savior, Jesus, loves you with all the love of a mother and far more. For as David says in Psalm 27 verse 10, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me." And we see the passion of Jesus' love for us when we go astray, and even for those whom he did not come to save. Jesus just wants to gather everyone to himself and hold them close and tight and protect them and keep them safe from all the dangers and evils of this world. Protect them from sin and the consequences of sin. Just as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Jesus, children, the mental picture that Jesus is drawing for us here is that, and maybe you've seen this in real life with a robin or some other bird of that kind, where you've maybe a chicken or something too, or maybe you've seen it on TV. But a mother bird will often, not all species, but some of them, will keep their chicks close to them, and whenever there is any sort of peril or danger, they will hide their chicks under their wings. Many kinds of birds, anytime there's danger, whether it's bad weather or it is time to sleep, or the mothers will gather their chicks close to them as they can and be the first line of defense against whether it's predators, whether it's the heat of the sun, the wind, the rain, or whatever it may be. They're the first line of defense. Jesus wants us all to be near him, and he wants to protect us and love us all the way to glory. For those who are truly his, we know that he is doing this for us all the time, even when we do walk astray. For we know that he will bring us back as the good shepherd. But we also see this in a general sense that Jesus has for all to be saved. He just wants to love on everybody. And he wants everyone to have a blessed life. The heart of a good mother is similar, especially toward her own children. But there's reasons why organizations helping poor children around the world advertise on the Hallmark Channel. Because only mothers watch that stuff. But also because they know that a mother's heart will go out to those children in a special way. And rightfully so. After my open heart surgery, when I was only 9 months old, after my parents brought me home from the hospital, I was screaming in my crib, which only caused me to cry all the more because they had cut me from stem to stern there, and so as I was crying, all those bones that needed to heal were being ripped apart again, and so the pain was excruciating. But as my father told me, I don't remember this, I was only 9 months old, but my father told me my mother crawled into my baby crib and snuggled me all the way through the night in that tiny little crib curled up next to me so that I could sleep. And as my dad said, only your mother would do that for you. Jenny has done similar things for our children, and I'm sure you mothers have memories of doing that with your children. And children, I'm sure that there are times when either you're sick or you've had a bad day that you can remember the warm embrace of your own mother. Some of the greatest prayer warriors in the church are mothers. Whether that is physical mothers praying for their own children, or whether it's spiritual mothers praying for the children in their extended family, church, and in the world. Every mother in the church should strive to be both. But this is something that we see in mothers that God created good and recreated good and Christian mothers. We should thank God for the spiritual and physical mothers that God has given to us in our lives and honor them for the role that they have played, being used by God to serve us in the ways that we have needed to be served. There is a temptation that is common to all mothers, though. It is because they care so much for their children and want to protect them from all harm That the temptation then is for stress and worry. And that can set in and take hold. Stress and worry. Those things maybe seem like they're just part and parcel of motherhood. But God didn't create it to be so. And so, I'm not going to stand here and be a really bad therapist and say, just stop it now. But I point you and direct you to what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 4. If you would turn there with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Paul says to be anxious for nothing. And I can hear the hearts of all the mothers say, easier said than done. But what Paul says here is not just to stop being anxious, but he provides the way for us to not be anxious and worry. But go to the Lord in prayer with supplication. That's just a big word that means requests. But do it with thanksgiving. That is really important. Because if we are complaining to God in our prayers, then that means we are blind to the blessings of God all around us in our troubles. But if we are petitioning the Lord, bringing to Him our stress and struggles and pain, but we do so with thanksgiving, even if we're not able to give thanks for those things just yet. But we can give thanks for other things. Giving thanks for the goodness of the Lord that we can see. That means that our eyes are still open to see at least some of the blessings that God is giving to us even in the midst of the struggle. And when we see the goodness of the Lord and we give Him thanks, even in the midst of our struggle, God Himself will quiet our hearts and give us His peace, which surpasses all understanding. Why? Because He loves us and is gracious to us and does not want us to stay and wallow in our stress and in our anxiety. But He does so as He opens our eyes to see His blessings all around us. Because when our eyes are open to see the blessings of God, even in part, then we are strengthened in our faith to trust Him with the strength, with the stress and pain that we do not understand. If we have our eyes completely shut and are just crying out to the Lord, yes, the Lord will hear us and answer us. But then we do ourselves a disservice because then we will miss God's grace that's all around us. Even if your children are walking in serious sin, and walking away from the Lord, care for them, love them, but at the end of the day, leave them in the Lord's hands. Do not worry or fret. What can we do by worrying after all? Worrying hasn't gotten anyone anywhere except gray hair, wrinkles, and heart attacks. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And remember this verse in Matthew 23, verse 37. That Jesus cares for them and longs for them to return and live the blessed life even more than you do. And that brings us to our closing thoughts. On this day, we should give thanks for the physical and spiritual mothers that God has given to us in our lives. But even more so, thankful for the way that God cares for us, for our children, and for all of His people. And may it ever be our desire to be close to Him and declare with a plethora of psalms that the Lord is our rock, our shield, our high tower, our fortress and refuge, and the one that satisfies us with good things all the time. This is the God that we worship today. This is the God that has blessed us with His eternal presence. This is the God that has also blessed us in the here and now, in the lives that we live, in the ordinary things, and even with our families, and in the day-to-day and those things too. And so this is the God that has given us the mothers that we have, the spiritual ones and the physical ones. And for that, we can give thanks all the time. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You and we give You thanks and praise for the wonderful ways in which You care for us, that You are so good to us. We thank You, Lord, that You care for us with such a tender heart and that You fill and satisfy us with every good and perfect thing. Heavenly Father, we pray for all the mothers in our congregation that You would supply them with Your peace which surpasses all understanding, and that even when their children do not walk according to Your ways, or even when they walk away from You, we pray that You would give them peace, but also that You would remind them that You care for them far more than they do, and that You are the one that is also calling them back to Yourself. We pray, Heavenly Father, that You would bless all the mothers on this day, that You would encourage them to fulfill this high calling with energy and vigor, for it is a great calling, and to see that the care that they have for their children is sometimes a burden, but it is a burden that is good and is a gift from You. We pray that You would encourage them and strengthen them in these things. We thank You, Lord, for our mothers and for the way that they have cared for us, and we also think of those who have not had good mothers in their lives and pray that they would look to You for their satisfaction and for their care. And we pray that You would provide them with spiritual mothers to care for them and give them all they stand in need of. We pray, Heavenly Father, all these things because we are a hurting people. We are a people that is full of stress and strain. And so we come to You for peace, for rest, for hope, and for grace. And we know that You have and will forever provide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.